This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
This episode is brought to you by Polestar. There's only one true way to experience the all-electric luxury SUV Polestar 3, and that's to take a test drive. It can go from 0 to 60 in as little as 4.8 seconds with the dynamic handling of a sports car. But to truly understand how it commands the road, you need to be behind the wheel. Up to 350 miles of range, the 3D surround sound system by Bowers & Wilkins, it's all something you have to experience to believe. So book your test drive for Polestar 3 today at Polestar.com.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
My favorite.
From The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
And amongst the large crowd, the big heart of his wife, Ellen, beats a little faster.
Strike three, calls. Strikeout number 3,000 for Clayton Kershaw.
If there's any human being that deserves that sort of moment, it's him.
Today's guests, Saints quarterback Spencer Rattler, NFL Network insider Tom Pelissero, senior writer for Sports Illustrated, Chris Mannix, and now, it's Rich Eisen.
Well, that's correct. This is The Rich Eisen Show. I can confirm it. And we appreciate you being here on The Rich Eisen Show Roku channel or the sports channel or the Infinity Sports Network or Sirius XM channel 375 or the Odyssey app, however you take us in. Our podcast listeners, hello to you all 3 hours every single day, available wherever you get such things. Thanks to our friends at Cumulus. We're here for a 3 hour program on this Thursday, July the 3rd in Los Angeles, California, where we saw a milestone last night, which we'll get to in a moment. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. What's going on?
Rich, what's up, man?
I see you typing away diligently.
I was.
Excellent work.
Trying to get the show lineup out.
Oh, good. It's not Tetris?
Nah, it's me.
Man, I haven't played Tetris in so long. That's TJ.
Good to see you over there, Jason Feller. What's going on?
What's up, Rich?
Rocking your Dodgers cap.
This guy's got a cat now, and it's really throwing off the dynamic over here.
Look, I love Theodore. Yeah. Leave him out of this.
Yeah. What are you saying?
He got a cat, Rich.
He got a cat, and he didn't tell us.
Guys,
be careful. And it's really throwing things off in the room.
That why?
Yeah.
Okay.
My wife brought a cat. That's different.
Okay. There you go.
Yeah, but you're showing us pictures and stuff, and it's like, dude.
He's adorable.
Okay.
You've like, it's like I don't even know you anymore.
Stop. First of all, not top of show material.
Sorry.
Secondly, tread lightly, sir.
You got it.
You've already pissed off cat people about 6 years ago.
Well, my cat stance.
And dog people, too.
Good to see you over there, TJ Jefferson. What's going on?
I never even thought about this until earlier when you said 3 hours. You know who else was on the 3-hour tour? Gilligan.
Oh, my goodness.
And has nothing to do with this.
What are we
just
doing?
I feel silly for introducing all three of you.
You regret it immediately.
Too late.
Yes, I did.
Immediate regret.
All right. I'm talking now.
Sorry. All right, we're done.
I'm going to hit my mute button.
Got it. Mute.
Stop it. Milestone moment last night here in Los Angeles, California. Something we've only seen 19 times before in Major League Baseball history, and that is somebody reaching the milestone of 3,000 strikeouts, which sometimes, I'll be straight up with you, sometimes watching the Yankees, I'm thinking, is that the 3,000th strikeout of the game? Certainly as the Yankees just now have company in first place right now, and the Mets have fallen off a cliff. Our teams see one another for the final three-game set of the Subway Series tomorrow night, on Friday night, celebrating our nation's birthday. But in this day and age, it is a testament to one's greatness and longevity to reach 3,000 strikeouts, certainly when it's somebody that's gone through as many trips to the injured list as the number of strikeouts that he's had as sometimes it feels in Clayton Kershaw here in Los Angeles. And if anybody was watching last night, listen, say what you will about Los Angeles sports if you're taking this in from across the country, and certainly from where Chris and TJ and yours truly are from out there in the Northeast Corridor of our sports-loving nation. We would look at Los Angeles as like, oh, are they really sports fans there? You know, and they show up late, they leave early, all that business. Two franchises that know how to do milestone moments in their buildings, our neighbors across the way in the Los Angeles Lakers and the LA Dodgers. I mean, I love that our radio show opened that people hear on our Roku channel feed as well. Featured Vin Scully talking about Clayton Kershaw, and it is amazing. That Dodger Stadium, fans are jacked. Clayton Kershaw comes into the game last night, three strikeouts shy of 3,000, and despite Max Muncy getting his knee torn up in a horrible way in the batter before the milestone moment. Kershaw does, in fact, nearing 100 pitches, clearly going to be his last batter of the night. And he gets two strikes and gets a called third strike.
You knew that backdoor off speed was coming, too. And it's kind of fitting that that was the final call for
Clayton Kershaw,
for the 3,000 strikeout.
Right,
yeah,
a backwards K on a classic Kershaw curve.
Yep.
And Chicago White Sox third baseman Vinny Capra is now, I don't know if there's any relation to Frank here in Southern California. Look it up. Google it. A great director of note here in Southern California for many years. Anyway, Vinny Capra, everybody, he goes into the books. 3,000 strikeouts. And Kershaw becomes the fourth lefty with 3,000 strikeouts. Do you know who the other three are? You can guess? Anybody?
Steve Carlton.
That's correct.
Yeah,
that's
Randy Johnson.
That's correct.
Yep.
And the
Lefty Grove?
No. The most recent enshrinee in CC Sabathia.
Yeah, CC, yeah.
20th ever to do it. Fifth with one team. You mentioned Steve Carlton being one. The others, Walter Johnson, Bob Gibson, somebody I'll be seeing next week in Lake Tahoe at the American Century Championship, John Smoltz,
ooh,
all with one team, and now Clayton Kershaw. That's why he got a 6-minute standing ovation, like he's a director in Cannes. Those always strike me as like, really? It's just a movie.
They go on forever, those things.
You know, it's a 7-minute ovation, 8-minute ovation. At some point, it's like, you know, sit down.
Yeah.
Grab some popcorn. At any rate. There goes my invitation. Clayton Kershaw had this to say after the game.
This was such a special night all the way around. It really was. Couldn't have asked for anything more, really. We've been through it. I mean, we have. I've been through it a lot. Ups and downs here. More downs than I care to admit, you know. But, you know, the fans tonight, it really meant a lot, you know. And usually I try not to acknowledge anything before the game just because – trying to lock it in a little bit, but it was too hard not to tonight. It was just it was overwhelming to feel that, and I don't have a lot of great words other than it was just really special.
It's amazing that he's even that out there, you know. Injured list every single year from 2016 to 2024. Missed last year's championship run because of a foot injury. And then had surgery in November to repair a torn meniscus in his left knee, a ruptured plantar plate in his left big toe. Started the year on the injured list. He's come back, and he's 4-0 with a 2.18 ERA.
Since he's come back, yeah.
You know, and Blake Snell and Glasnow and Sasaki and Tony Gonsolin, they're all injured, and he's keeping the team on a straight and narrow. Him and Ohtani in the same pitching rotation.
That's fair.
How many yachts can this team water ski behind, man? But truly, Clayton Kershaw, the real deal, to say the least. And, you know, it leads me with Clayton Kershaw's 3,000th strikeout to the latest edition of our conversation about who wants to be a Hall of Famer. Is this person, if they do not...
Oh.
Play another game, another snap, another moment, are they a Hall of Famer? You know, and Clayton Kershaw's big moment makes me wonder about the guy, if you will, he he went to high school with.
Oh.
I don't know if you're aware of that.
Wait, what? Hold on, what?
Yes, yeah.
What?
He went to high school with Matthew Stafford.
No, wait, stop.
Who did?
Clayton Kershaw did?
Yeah, he did.
Get out of here.
Yeah.
And they both play in Los Angeles
now?
So
if you're
wondering, how am I just now finding this out?
You might, if you're wondering if Clayton Kershaw is in fact a Hall of Famer.
I would say that should be the shortest discussion in the room.
No. If the one thing that could put him over the top is if Matthew Stafford is a Hall of Famer.
Oh, double dip.
So in honor of the fact that you may not have known,
man,
that Clayton Kershaw,
you learn something new every day, TJ.
Went to high school, same high school.
Mind blown.
Is Matthew Stafford. is it true that Clayton Kershaw was Stafford's center in high school?
Oh, that I didn't know.
Something along the lines of that?
It was something like that.
That'd be as crazy as Stafford being Kershaw's catcher.
You know,
like
and again, it's in the same realm of you might not have known Ryan Fitzpatrick went to Harvard.
No, he didn't.
Look it up. Google it.
Hold on.
But with Clayton Kershaw on the cusp of being a Hall of Famer, the one thing that could put him over is if Matthew Stafford takes down the crown in this rendition of Who Wants to Be a Hall of Famer.
Who wants to be a Hall of Famer?
Is that your final answer?
All right, here we go.
Okay.
In honor of Clayton Kershaw coming up with a milestone moment, his high school friend, Matthew Stafford, is our latest contestant on Who Wants to Be a Hall of Famer. 37 years old. If Matthew Stafford never played another snap, if he had decided this past offseason, you know we're done. We're done. Not going East Coast, and I'm not. I don't want to play anymore. I don't want to play with Puka Nacua and Devontae Adams for Sean McVay in Southern California, and keep my kids here looking at the Pacific Ocean sunset. Just as a for instance. All right, 222 games played. His 5,174 completions, ninth all time above Dan Marino. He, if he has a 191-yard passing game in the Rams' home opener against the Houston Texans, if he throws for 191 yards in that week one game, he will have 60,000 passing yards. He's 10th all-time in that regard, ahead of folks named Elway and Montana. His completion percentage of 63.4% is 34th all-time. He has 377 career passing touchdowns. That's 10th all-time, ahead of people named Elway, Moon, Bradshaw, to say a few. His passer rating of 91.2 is tied for 27th all-time, ahead of folks named Marino, Favre, and Aikman. You want to use QBR for our friends at ESPN?
Sure.
His single season QBR of 71.3 is tied for 60th all time with Big Ben, ahead of folks named Rodgers, Ryan, Tom Brady. He is a Super Bowl champion, a two-time Pro Bowler, is twice. Second fastest quarterback in the history of the NFL to 20 and 30,000 career yards. The only one faster is named Mahomes. He is the fastest to 40,000 and 45,000 career passing yards. We'll see if Mahomes takes him out on those regards one day. His 727 passing attempts in 2012, second most all-time behind a guy named Brady. One of nine quarterbacks to throw for 5,000 yards in a single season. He had 5,038 in 2011. He is the Lions' all-time leader in completion, passing yards, and touchdowns. And we all know one last accolade. Two Triple Crown receivers, Calvin Johnson in 2012, Cooper Kupp in 2021, had the same trigger man named Matthew Stafford. Is he a Pro Football Hall of Famer? TJ Jefferson, I'll send it to you first.
All right. In addition to all those stats, he has more passing yards and touchdowns than all but three current Hall of Famers, right? He's also been pretty successful in the playoffs. He has 103 career passing rating in the playoffs. That's fourth best in history. He's got that championship. Brockman, about 4 years ago, you were sitting there and you and I were off camera talking about Matt Stafford. And you were like, look at his passing numbers. You're like, if he continues to do this, he's going to get to 70,000. I think based on all of these stats and the Super Bowl, he's not a first ballot. He's probably not a second ballot, but he will get into the Hall of Fame.
Chris,
If his career ended right now,
that's correct.
I love Matthew Stafford. I love watching him play.
Careful.
He was Sarah's voicemail for a long time.
Yeah, you might be sleeping on the couch.
Sarah and Matthew Stafford. If he never played again, he does not get in.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
All of these stats and all the numbers, you can make the case that he is a compiler. Did it on bad teams who were losing most of the game. So, yeah, they got a throw, and he accumulated a great numbers. He has exactly one nice accolade as a quarterback, and it was a Comeback Player of the Year award in his third season. He's only made two Pro Bowls in 16 years. He's never sniffed an MVP. He's never sniffed an Offensive Player of the Year award. And I hate saying all this, but I'm just pointing out the facts. He's got one Super Bowl win. That's great. But one Super Bowl win doesn't get you in. We've seen that two doesn't get you in a couple of cases. I just don't think he's got it.
I will push back and say this is a no-brainer.
You can't push back on facts.
I'm pushing back on your facts as the determining factor.
I mean, we also gave facts.
I don't know, man.
You can't control who's drafting you. Now, could you control if you stayed with him? And he wanted to restore the roar there. And, you know, the fact that he was a Lion this whole time, and he has better stats than Marino, and he's got a ring. How does that not
Marino has three first team all pros. Marino was an MVP. Marino has eight Pro Bowls. Like,
and what do we hold against Dan Marino? He didn't win the Super Bowl.
But we don't talk about that with him being an all time great. We always mention Dan Marino as being an all time great.
That is not true, bro. Maybe,
that is true.
Maybe in this room we do, but not. Out there in the general public. He's got
personal individual accolades that Matt is just a bunch of, it's blank.
Mm.
It's blank.
I'm in no way saying, shape or form saying he's better than Dan Marino. What I'm saying is, and I've said this many times, Marino does not get put on those Mount Rushmores by the majority of people because he didn't win.
I get it. I'm trying to keep my personal feelings for Matt out of this and just looking at
and kind
of
the black. And I appreciate you doing that because that's the way you get into the Hall of Fame.
Yeah.
You know, unless you have red flags, then personal feelings definitely come into it.
Right.
But, yeah, man, I think these numbers
are... He's got a sub 500 career record. What is the knock on Eli Manning?
Well,
dude was an average 500 quarterback. Eli Manning's under 500.
Yeah, but because he was on some terrible, awful, dreadful Lions teams.
But you're the quarterback, man. You're supposed to be above that. You're supposed to make your team win when even it says, you know, all the numbers and all the analytics say that you shouldn't.
But he was Kershaw's catcher in high school.
That's a really good point.
I don't know if you knew that.
And who
was... Kershaw was his center. And Stafford was Kershaw's catcher.
Yeah.
I don't know if you're aware of that. Yeah. No, but in all seriousness, the numbers I have given to me makes it a no-brainer. And you could say stat compiler, he was doing it for one of the worst teams in the NFL and stuck it out to the point where he finally said, I need to go somewhere else. And then as soon as he got somewhere else, he got the ring. He got some of the accolades that you're thinking he doesn't. Have a Hall of Fame resume because he lacks. So I'm going to, again, I know I'm more glass half full in this segment than both of you guys, actually. But I think
now
you
if
look
he rides
at this
it
right
out,
now.
If he plays till he's 40 and the Rams make another run, but I mean, yeah, he might get in because he's going to have 75,000 passing yards and 450 touchdowns or whatever. But right now,
you don't,
entering his age 37 season, I don't think he's got it.
But also a quarterback's, and I know this is not a stat that I'm saying, but the stats that I'm about to say do enhance the fact that a quarterback makes his teammates better, and the two of the greatest receiving seasons ever, he was the quarterback. Calvin Johnson and Cooper Kupp. And Calvin's in the Hall of Fame because he had Stafford. And the Rams got a ring because they had Stafford.
I mean, that's a cool footnote, but
he had
a great
Super Bowl. He had one of the more iconic throws in the history of the Super Bowl, that no-look pass to Kupp. He made the throw to Kupp, to win the game. I mean, he had that ring.
That's a one game doesn't make a career.
He's had 49 game winning drives like that.
The dude is the man.
Do you think Phillip Rivers is a Hall of Famer?
I think he's going to get in the Hall. Yes.
Phillip Rivers. He doesn't have a championship.
Okay, great. He doesn't have a championship. Phillip Rivers made 8 Pro Bowls.
No, I know.
And was in the MVP conversation multiple seasons.
No, I know.
Phillip Rivers has led the league in multiple categories multiple times. Matthew Stafford has only led the league in completions one time and interceptions one time. That's it.
I think he's a Hall of Famer. Chris says no. You say yes, TJ Jefferson. So that puts Clayton Kershaw in the Hall of Fame now.
Well,
so congrats
proxy,
to him.
Yes.
If he throws his 3,000th strikeout was his last pitch. All right, we'll take a break. Joining us next is a man who appears to be in a quarterback competition for the New Orleans Saints. Spencer Rattler is going to join this program. Excited about that. He's got an annual kids camp he wants to talk about as well. So anytime anybody does something like that, we give him the floor.
No doubt.
Spencer Rattler of the New Orleans Saints when we come back here on the Rich Eisen Show.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Do you ever think about switching insurance companies to see if you could save some cash? Progressive makes it easy. Just drop in some details about yourself and see if you're eligible to save money when you bundle your home and auto policies. The process only takes minutes, and it could mean hundreds more in your pocket. Visit Progressive.com after this episode to see if you could save. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Welcome to AutoZone. What are you working on today? Hey, that's the spirit. Right now, we're celebrating free with a free STP oil filter when you buy 5 quarts of oil and free Duralast brake pads when you buy 2 rotors. Like always, free battery testing, charging, and recycling at every store. Celebrate free at AutoZone, now through July 28th.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
Restrictions apply.
Let's talk O'Reilly Auto Parts, people. They're in the business of keeping your car on the road. O'Reilly Auto Parts offers friendly, helpful service and the parts knowledge you need for all your maintenance and repairs. They've got thousands of parts and accessories in stock, either in-store or online, so you never have to worry if you're in a jam. The team at O'Reilly Auto Parts can also test your battery for free, in or out of your car. If it needs to be replaced, they'll help you find just the right battery for your vehicle. Need your windshield wipers replaced, a brake light fixed, or a quick service? Well, they'll help you find the right part or point you to the nearest local repair shop for help. I know, because it's happened to me. The professional parts people at O'Reilly Auto Parts are your one-stop shop for all things auto do-it-yourself, and you can find what you need in-store or online. Stop by O'Reilly Auto Parts today or visit us at OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. That's OReillyAuto.com/Eisen. Rich Eisen Show back on the air here on the Roku channel. Spencer Rattler is going to join us in less than 2 minutes' time when the radio audience returns. Would Sarah disagree with your sentiment if she removes all sentiment from it? What do you think?
Well, I don't know. That's a good question. I think she looks at things pretty objectively. I don't know. Maybe.
Okay.
She likes Stafford a lot, obviously. So.
Yeah, I mean, I also looked it up. They both, Kershaw and Stafford, went to the same high school.
Oh.
Yeah, man. Highland Park High School in Texas. I'm just looking at it right here, in case anybody's wondering.
It's mind-blowing.
Yeah, I know, right? And then they both are starring in Los Angeles.
That's wild.
Right? Isn't that great? Anybody else from your high school that's kicking ass at the same level as you right now?
No.
Chris?
Not in Los Angeles.
Okay. Just wondering.
Actually, that's not true. Well, he moved away. My old roommate was kicking ass, but he moved to Northern California.
What about a high school friend of yours, TJ?
I don't really know what they're doing.
Oh, man. I was wishing, because if he had mentioned the name of a high school friend of his.
Yeah, you could have looked them up.
And found out how old they are.
Yeah. TJ's playing 4D chess.
Because TJ won't let anybody know.
I could tell you about some of the great athletes that have come out of Altoona, you know.
Of course, I could at any moment in time end this scenario.
You could, but what fun would that be?
Because I, you know, people on the Rich Eisen Show, productions show, back office.
You have all of our, personal information.
But I won't cross streams like that.
Because you have all of our personal information.
I saw Ghostbusters. It's dangerous to cross streams.
Yeah, you don't want that.
Yeah. You could find this out like one call.
Right. Could.
Yeah.
But I won't.
Okay, good.
Your secret's safe. Stopping by on this show is a man in his second year with the New Orleans Saints, the 150th choice in last year's draft, fresh off of his first campaign in the National Football League, and also fresh off of his third annual kids camp in Columbia, South Carolina. We'll talk about it all with Spencer Rattler. Good to see you, Spencer. How are you?
Good to see you. Thanks for having me. Doing great.
Yeah. Where have I found you? Where are you here right before training camp?
We are on a little getaway for the July 4th, just out in Florida, enjoying a few days and ready to get back to the work after this.
Okay, who's the we, if you don't mind me?
Me and my lady. And my lady.
Okay, well, I appreciate you taking time out to zoom in.
Of course.
I really do.
I had to get on this call with you, Rich.
I appreciate that, Spencer, and I'm keen to find out from you your takeaway from your first year in the National Football League, Spencer. What's your takeaway?
I mean, I thought it was great to be thrown in that fire, you know, sooner than expected. Didn't think I was going to get any starts my first year, you know, especially, you know, being drafted where I was, but, you know, was blessed enough to get that opportunity to get six starts and get some games under my belt, you know, get the speed down and, you know, learn a lot from what I went through. You know, I thought, you know, it was a tough year for the organization, for us as a team. You know, we were fighting every game, but, you know, a lot of things didn't go our way, but, you know, none of us quit and we just kept fighting.
So what did you learn? You said you learned a lot. Like what would you say is what you learned the most, Spencer?
Yeah, I think just the NFL game overall, you know, the preparation, obviously the skill set is at a different level. Each and every week you're playing the best guys in the world. So preparation is key. Just seeing the speed of everything, getting to see all the different defenses, especially being a young rookie quarterback going against, you know, guys like Todd Bowles and many other great coordinators who are going to throw a lot of different stuff at you. So it was great to go back and watch that film and get those reps. And now going into year two, feel a little better about everything.
What was your welcome to the NFL moment? What was that?
You know, I guess when I stepped on the field playing, you know, Khalil Mack and Derwin James and, you know, those guys on the field, those, you know, great players every week, but, right. You know, those two stood out.
Is that right? Yeah,
I would say so. Yeah.
Well, you're back there, or you're in a huddle, and you're looking at those are two guys. Those are two guys, to say the least. You know,
that's right. Luckily, I didn't take too many big shots. You know, on the year.
All right.
But you know, those are obviously two of the best in the game. So pretty cool to be on the field with them.
Okay, so if you don't mind me hitting a little bit of a way back machine with you here before getting to the here and now, what was it like for you? In a draft where six quarterbacks go in the first 12 and you were made to wait to the fifth round, what was going through your skull on that weekend, Spencer?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, there was a lot of talented quarterbacks in that class, you know, and you know, I thought I could be up there with those guys, you know, in that first, second round, third round area. But, you know, I was blessed to get picked to the Saints. It didn't matter where I went. You know, I put my all into the draft preparation and, you know, the Senior Bowl and all the interviews and combine and all that stuff. So, you know, I was pleasant with me getting picked at the end of the day. It's a blessing to go wherever you get picked. And we hit the ground running and got to play seven games. So I think it turned out okay.
Well, I mean, I know that, but do you have a chip on your shoulder because of this, do you think?
I mean, you could say so. Yeah. You know, you want to go out there and prove yourself every single week. Not just for me. I think that's everybody has some sort of chip on their shoulder. But yeah, I think, you know, dropping that far in the draft, you know, it gives you a little chip. And I think that's good for you.
What advice would you give to Shedeur Sanders, who had a long ass wait, too, to be straight up? Spencer?
Yeah.
What advice would you give to him?
Yeah. I mean, he's a talented quarterback, as we all know. You know, he's going to have his own path. Everybody has a different path. You know, everybody can't go first round, second round. You know, everybody has their own path. So take it step by step, take it day by day. You know, I know he'll be great. I know he's, you know, got a level head and knows what to do. Obviously runs in the family. So I know he's going to work hard and be a great player.
Well, listen, I understand, you know, some of the questions that I'm asking you right now, Spencer, could be if you answered it with a bit more emotion, taken that, you know, you're better than the ones that were drafted in front of you. And I understand you seem to have a level-headed approach about it. Where does that come from? Spencer?
I would say just my parents. They raised me right. Credit to them. You know, they taught me the right valuables to go about in life. You know, taught me how to be a good young man. And, you know, I truly feel that way. And then, you know, being able to, you know, play at the high school level, at a high level, college at a high level, and then, you know, finally get to the NFL and play some games. I think you just comes with being a quarterback. You got to have a level head. You got to be, you know, just mature in a way. You got to move a little different as a quarterback. And I think that goes for all quarterbacks.
Is it possible, not to turn this into a psychoanalysis, but is it possible what happened to you in college where you get hurt and Caleb Williams comes in and you lose your starting gig in Oklahoma? Could that lead into your approach here at all, Spencer?
I never got hurt. I never got hurt in college. I've been very blessed. Okay. To never been injured in my career.
But you lost your gig, I guess, is one way to put it then. I mean, no?
I mean, what happened at Oklahoma, you know, it's like ancient history at this point.
Right.
You know, at the time, we were coming off a Big 12 championship on a 16-game win streak, and we were rolling. I think we led the conference in touchdowns, completion percentage, and, yeah, whatever happened, happened. But, you know, like I said earlier, everybody has their own story. You know, God has a plan for everybody, and that's just how mine went.
Well, I mean, the guy that you're competing with right now, and Tyler Shuck, is pointing out how he's been through a lot already. He's 26, my goodness, as well. But he's had everything pretty much happen to him that doesn't allow him to get phased. I mean, kind of you as well, right? You switch schools. You had a big career in high school. Then you get an opportunity. You get drafted where you got drafted. I feel like maybe you have the same amount of been there, done that. Right, Spencer, in a way?
100%. You know, I've been through a ton of adversity as well, you know, throughout college. And I think that makes you a better player coming into the NFL because, you know, the earlier you see adversity, the better, because you're going to see it in the NFL at any point, especially playing quarterback as a young guy.
Okay, so let's talk about the here and now, Spencer. What is the opportunity here in front of you for this year?
Yeah, it's a great opportunity. New coaching staff, loving what they're doing with Kellen Moore and Doug Nussmeier, Scott Tolzien, you know, three guys that played the position in the NFL, know what they want, you know, can coach very specifically to quarterbacks and know their strengths and know what they can do and are just really good play callers and know how to coach the game. I've been enjoying my time with them, obviously with the team. Team's looking great. Guys are healthy. We're having fun. OTAs and vet mini camp was great. And we're all looking forward to training camp.
And so what has Kellen Moore told you about the opportunity that's here in front of you? Is this an open competition for the starters gig, Spencer?
Yeah. Yeah, you know, it's an open competition. We've been competing every day. I think competition is great for both of us, not just me and Tyler, but Jake Haener. We got Hunter Deckers in there as well. So we got four good quarterbacks in that room. Got a lot of respect for all of those guys, and we bond really well. That's what I like. It's a tight-knit room. We all respect each other's games, and we all push each other every day.
Yeah, I mean, how does that work, right? I mean, you know, there's only one starter's gig, but there's four of you in the room. And it's healthy. How does that work, Spencer?
I mean, it's probably not like that in every room, but we're one of the luckier rooms, I guess you could say. I think just how we go about it. I like to come in there every day and just have a level head, go out there, compete, and try to be the best guy on the field whenever I step on the field.
And Kellen Moore's offense, not to have you spill the playbook out here on the live Rich Eisen show, but how does it suit your game, do you think, Spencer?
I think just like he wants us to play like point guards, you know, distribute the ball, get the ball in your playmaker's hands. You see all the success he's had with, you know, Dak Prescott, Jalen Hurts, Justin Herbert, just a few of the guys to name. But All those guys can move with their legs a little bit. They could throw the ball. I think, you know, that suits my game really well. I think I can move around, make plays with my feet. But definitely my strength is throwing the ball and distributing the ball. So, you know, feel good with what he's calling and feel good about the playbook. Just want to keep diving into it.
Okay. And have you connected with Breeze at all at any point in time, Spencer?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Last year, you know, got to be around him a little bit during practice. And then before, I think it was before the Denver game, you know, got to chop it up with him. And, you know, obviously that's one of the greatest all time. So any little word of advice he has, you want to soak it all in and try to use it in your own game.
Yeah. I mean, he can get your reservation at any spot there in town.
That's right.
That's for darn sure. You know what I mean?
That's right. That's the man of the city right there.
For life. Like he's the concierge. He could be, you know,
yep.
Other than that, what might have you picked his brain about, Spencer?
Yeah, I think we talked after the Denver game and Just talked about, you know, schemes and, you know, what he saw out there versus what I saw. So any little thing he has, you know, he's correct on it. You know, he knows what he's seeing. He's been through it. He's done it. Like I said, he's one of the greatest of all time. So just being able to get to talk to him face to face was pretty special.
Okay. Tell me about your kids camp, Columbia, South Carolina, Spencer. I'm keen to know. What do you have?
Yeah, it was great. It was our third annual kids camp out there. You know, Columbia was so great to me with the fans and all the Gamecock fans and kids and all the loyals out there. So, you know, we like to get back at least once a year and give back to that community and see the kids. And it's fun for them. You know, you go out there, have fun with them. There's about 100, 120 kids out there. Wow. And they enjoyed it. Pro Sportplex is who we did it with, and they did a great job organizing it and putting it all together. It was a great turnout.
That's pretty cool. So what do you do? Are you out there with the whistle and everything like that? I mean, what are you doing for there, Spencer?
Just bouncing around, talking to everybody. You know, those kids aren't really, you know, they're so young. They just want to have fun out there. They want to get to see you, take a picture after, get an autograph. So, half the time it's trying to navigate through that and, you know, make sure they focus on the details and the coaching. And there was a lot of great coaches out there helping them. So, you know, shout out to them, but they just had fun.
How old are they? How old were the kids?
They ranged from like 5 to 14. Damn. So younger kids for sure.
Five, were some going the wrong way? Those 5 year olds, you got to point them in the right direction.
Some of them had their shoes on the wrong feet. So that's an idea of what we were dealing with. But it was fun.
Is that right? That is funny. Oh man, third annual kids camp for you, and second season coming up. So what's your goal? Give me your goals. Are you a goal-oriented guy where you write it down, you visualize, like, because you have an opportunity here, right? I mean, obviously you got a competition and you got a guy who was drafted in the second round now in your quarterback room. What are your goals, Spencer?
Yeah, very goal-oriented. You know, just want to go out there and give my best every day. Might sound like a bland answer, but
no.
Just want to go out there, focus on what I can, make my teammates around me better. You know, gain my teammates' trust and my coach's trust. And you know, I'm very confident in what I can do on that field. So, you know, felt good throughout OTAs, mini camp. Just want to keep progressing and take that into mini camp and preseason and then into the season.
Yeah. And of all the teams coming in, the Arizona Cardinals from your home state, right? Arizona and another Lincoln Riley, high recruited guy, and Kyler Murray out there. So maybe, yep, you know, you get that start and it'll be something for you to get started on in year two, Spencer, right?
Yes, sir. You know? That would be great.
Hey, listen, go forth and enjoy your final couple weeks of freedom, you know, to do whatever you want to do. And I appreciate you coming on and chit-chatting with me, and I wish you the best of luck with your opportunity.
Yes, sir. Thank you. Thanks for having me, Rich. Now,
anytime, Spencer Rattler. Please don't lose our number. We won't lose yours. That's Spencer Rattler here on the Rich Eisen Show of the New Orleans Saints. Okay.
All right, let's go.
You got a guy who's got a history, right? Mm-hmm. Opportunity here in front. Got the New Orleans Saints coming up here, and it's going to be him and Tyler Shuck in a competition.
That's right.
And he's the one who had the, you know, he had the starts last year, 7 games played last year, completed 57% of those passes. And he definitely was baptized by fire a couple times, yeah, that's
no
for
doubt
sure.
About that.
You know, and it's interesting. Again, Tyler Shuck is like, I'm 26, I've been hurt, I've been an MVP, I've been somebody who got traded, well, not traded, he had to switch schools, right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Spencer was saying he never got hurt, but he's been there and done that too. And then he had to wait 150 picks to hear his name. We'll see. Kellen Moore's going to let it fly, and Spencer Rattler's got a real shot. You look at their schedule: home for the Cardinals, home for San Francisco, 2 in the dome to start. 2 in the dome to start. You know, when you're at Seattle and at Buffalo.
To follow, you kind of need to win both those.
To win Arizona and San Francisco?
To start the season, yeah. To get things off to a right foot. Because, you know, you're possibly looking at 1-3, 0-4 if you don't. And you're like, uh-oh.
Well, it's the same unit offensively, I believe, that Derek Carr scored 80 points with in the first 2 weeks of last season. You remember we had Dennis Allen on the program? You're 2-0. You scored 80 combined points, 190 combined points.
Highest offense.
He's kind enough to come on, and then the Rich Eisen show bump went the other way. you know, in a division that's up there, up for grabs in some people's minds. Obviously, Tampa's like, what are you talking about? We've won it four in a row. And we're bringing the same team back with Baker Mayfield.
But you'd think
Oklahoma Lincoln Riley guy.
True. But that's the most wide open division, right?
I guess it's every year where like the North and the East are the toughest and the South are the weakest in both conferences. That's always the general consensus.
Yeah, right. I'm not saying it's
where the West, where the West has champions lying in, you know, in weeds, maybe out West.
I'm sure if
NFC,
I look at the odds,
not in the AFC.
I just mean the NFC South is probably, you know, any team can win it. Whereas I don't think you could say that for a lot of the other divisions.
Spencer Rattler, everybody. Let's take a break. We come back. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. We'll go to some phone calls. Even the safest drivers still encounter unsafe conditions. So it's important they do it in a safe vehicle. And Hyundai's offer available Class Executive Advanced Safety features to help keep you protected against the many challenges the road throws your way. Basically, in a Hyundai, you can drive as safely as possible and enjoy your journey in confidence and style. When you change lanes, signal check for traffic and enjoy the added safety of Hyundai's available blind spot view monitor. Constantly scan for dangers and take advantage of Hyundai's standard forward collision avoidance assist to help prevent accidents by alerting you of imminent collisions and automatically applying the brakes. Stay alert at all times and be thankful that Hyundai's standard driver attention warning system monitors your attention levels and can bring your focus back on the road. Safety is all about making the right decisions on the road and when selecting a vehicle. Learn more at HyundaiUSA.com. Call 562-314-4603 for details. What if I told you you can take you and your family and your friends to the ballpark with such low price tickets, you can invest more in buying food and drinks, merchandise, and easily, on top of all of it, get a larger group to come with you? That's where Game Time Tickets comes in, the official ticketing partner of The Rich Eisen Show. Browse through that Game Time app and automatically you'll see features that become your favorites. Last minute tickets, zone deals. You see views from all seats in the venue, lowest price guarantee, event cancellation protection. And the best part about it is you see your entire total up front, so no surprise fees hit you at checkout. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets right now with Game Time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, and use my code of Eisen for $20 off your first purchase. Terms apply. Visit GameTime.co for restrictions. Again, create an account, redeem our code EISEN for $20 off. Download the Game Time app today. Last minute tickets, lowest price guaranteed. With COVID and also with redshirt and with three transfers, three different schools, 7 years basically between now and when you left high school in Arizona. And then the bone breaks at your 25. How do you respond to those who ask you about your age and your injury history when you're being interviewed by these teams, Tyler?
Yeah, I mean, I think it's an advantage. Like I said, I've kind of had a crash course of the NFL. You got guys who are going to get cut, you know, injured in the NFL. They're going to get benched, you know, booed when you come in. And, you know, I would have loved to have a three-year illustrious career in college and everything go right, but then I would have maybe had a different sense of entitlement or things were always going to go my way. And I feel much more mentally and physically equipped to go out there and handle the task because I've gone through it. If anything, I'm more athletic than I ever have been and in better shape. I've just had the bone breaks. And, you know, as a 25-year-old, like you see with Bo Nix and Penix and Jaden Daniels and Sam Darnold and Baker Mayfield, guys are kind of really getting into their stride after they've kind of gone through some stuff. And then you got MVP level play by Tom Brady and Aaron Rodgers well into their late 30s, and Stafford playing his butt off. And I think a lot of teams just kind of recognize that. And I feel like I'm the most pro-ready guy in this draft class, just with everything I've been through and my physical tools. And hopefully teams are on the same page with that.
Bravo, Tyler Shuck. That's a heck of an answer. And I'm not just saying that you're giving me an answer. That was clearly something born out of experience and born out of what you've brought to the table here. Do you have any plans for draft night yet?
Yeah, we'll be back home in Arizona with some close family and friends, just hanging out there.
What's that moment going to be like for you, you think?
It'll be a great culmination of a lot of things. I think this whole process has benefited me because you know, there was a certain point where I didn't think it was necessarily in the cards. So that's why I'm, you know, getting the crowd going. I'm not nervous throughout these meetings and throwing because, like, man, this wasn't supposed to happen. So if it doesn't work out, then great. It wasn't supposed to work out. But if it works out, then, man, I'm going to play my butt off and I'm going to compete. And if I get drafted and wherever it is, I'm going to make the most of it and work my tail off. So it'll be a just a great moment with everybody who's kind of been along for the journey.
Did you ever think of giving up at any point in the 7 years, Tyler?
No. I mean, I'm a human. You know, I'm laying there and I'm getting carted off with my leg hanging on by a thread. And I'm like I said, I should have played golf or I don't know if this is the right thing. But deep down, I'm like, man, I know if I get an opportunity, I'm gonna make the most of it. And I know I can play with anybody. And like, it's just mentally hardened me. But I knew if I get an opportunity, and that's all I wanted, that I was gonna do it. And I feel like my best ball is ahead of me. And that's why my passion is just so high.
What does a team get if they draft Tyler Shough?
I think you're getting a high-level person and competitor that's gonna bring your team to the next level. Like I said, whether you're coming in and you're seeing me as adding value to the quarterback room and supporting the starter, but I also feel like I'm the most pro-ready guy that's gonna win you, that's gonna get you to the playoffs and get you where you want to be because I've been through it. You know, I'm not fazed by what's gonna happen on the field or off the field, and I have all the tools necessary to go make it happen. So I never flinch, and I'm gonna come out there and do everything I can to get better.
So I just want to be fair and balanced, right? Just had Spencer Rattler.
That was tied to the quarterback battle.
Well, I'm sure Jake Haner's like, where's my interview? You know? Back here on the Rich Eisen Show, 844-204-RICH is the number to dial. We're going to have a Chris Mannix is coming in studio in hour number three of this program. So it'll be a great hang with him to find out what's going on. And Tommy P. You ready for Tommy P?
Where in the world is Tommy P?
I have no idea.
2 weeks ago, driving, last week, cabin.
In some Finnish cabin?
Yeah, could be anywhere now.
I know. Could be anywhere. So we'll check in with Tommy P. And since this is our final show of the week, we've got a What's More Likely coming up. But we have a top five right here on the Rich Eisen Show.
High five. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Rich's top five.
All right, top five. With all of our segments that we're doing about who wants to be a Hall of Famer, mm-hmm. There's an offshoot of this, if you will. Because, again, our segment is like, who could be in the Hall of Fame based on everything that they've done so far if they don't play another day? Current athletes. But what about those who we can't believe aren't in their Halls of Fame just yet?
Oh.
And for that, I'm calling in reinforcements. Mr. Grab Bag himself, TJ Jefferson, decided to come up with a list. TJ, I'm giving you the floor in a Rich's top five.
Let's go.
Yes. Go for it.
I'm with it. Jay, do we have a drop or anything?
No. Yeah.
Right. What you got in that bag? Okay.
But it's a top five.
Yeah. Just so Rich's top. I'm here.
Oh.
Well, here we go.
I see you. Very in the middle there.
Okay.
Kaboom. Guess who stepped in the room?
Didn't mean to get you in an awkward spot. Sorry, TJ. You have the floor.
Well, I'm going to run through this. What's up, guys? How's everybody
What's
doing?
Up, TJ?
Yeah, we're doing all these discussions about who should be a Hall of Famer if their career ended. But what about guys who are just sitting, waiting in line, and they haven't had a chance?
Well, I heard Rich say that exactly. Yeah. So, yeah.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
Wow.
Well, I'm starting again because the entire thing got cut off. In the beginning.
Nothing got cut off.
All right, here we go. Coming in at number five, Jim Plunkett. Look.
Oh, yeah.
So, we talk about Baker Mayfield.
Yeah. Well done.
We talk about Joe Flacco having a resurgence. No one had a resurgence like Jim Plunkett did. He was a number one overall pick. He got unfairly labeled as a bust.
Two rings.
Came back, two rings.
What is happening?
The Raiders are one of these iconic franchises, right? Jim Plunkett should most definitely be in the hall. He has yet 100%. To get that call, and I don't understand why that
100%.
Is. 100%. Jim Plunkett, let's put him in. Coming at number four, we got Keith Hernandez.
Oh, interesting.
Why Keith Hernandez has done two-time MVP, NL MVP, two-time World Series champion, once with the greatest team of all time, the 86 Mets. I mean, his numbers speak for himself. He had a 7-time All-Star, 5-time Gold Glover at first base.
He's
4-time Silver Slugger.
He's a first ballot Elaine boyfriend.
That's true.
Okay. And helping you move.
That's true.
Yeah, and he's first ballot that. And that's also, like Jay Philly, he had the cat, too. So they've got that in common.
Wow.
Friend of the teammate of the second spitter, right?
Right.
Roger McDowell. I'm sorry. I didn't interrupt. What else?
And then we got it, number three. You know I had to go a little wrestling here, all right?
Oh, boy.
Seek, search and destroy you. Run and they'll find you. There's nowhere to hide. The demos will get you. Demolition. Remember the WWE tag team Demolition guys?
I do. Yeah.
Let me explain something to you. 698 days they reigned supreme as tag team champions over three title reigns. They took on some of the most iconic tag teams in WWE history, including the Colossal Connection, the Brainbusters, the Hart Foundation, the Powers of Pain, the Rockers. For some reason, this team is not in the Hall of Fame, and they deserve to be in there. Let's get the Demolition in the WWE
and
this, and, Hall
and
of
they,
Fame.
Don't pardon me. And they did their, they plied their craft back in the day when the WWE had man's ears necessary as well. Now everybody's literally rocked up right
now.
Yeah,
that's true. That's a good point.
Right?
That's a real good point.
This is back in the day.
The original dad bods.
You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah.
They were jacked at their time, and then they got a little older, so they got dad bods.
My bad. I shouldn't, you know, interrupt. My bad. You've got two more.
Better state your act of contrition. This Demolition.
My bad. I'm sorry.
Coming at number two. Rock and Roll Hall of Fame, you know what I think they need? They need a little bit of Staten Island's finest. They need the Wu-Tang Clan.
It's not, in Cleveland, Ohio?
Well, you know, there's always this thing about rap acts in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. People have an issue. But when you talk about the RZA, the GZA, Old Dirty Bastard, Inspect the Deck, Raekwon, the Shep, Ghostface Killer, Capadonna, and the M-E-T-H-O-D, man, they have sold. Let me get this number right.
That's
worldwide,
my man right
combined
there.
Combined 40 million records worldwide, and they're still active. They're still relevant today. They just had a concert at Staples recently. Let's put the Woo in the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And then coming in at number one.
Holler at your boy.
Chris, this guy's occupation doesn't necessarily have a Hall of Fame, but if you were an actor, right, what would be the closest thing to giving you like a Hall of Fame recognition?
Get an Oscar, baby.
That's right. That's why you're my man.
Gold statue.
Tom Cruise. He doesn't have any type of hardware, guys. Tom Cruise has been in the game since the 80s.
No doubt.
His films have grossed over $13 billion, and we're talking about
he's been
some
nominated,
of my
though, right?
He's
Rain
been nominated
Man?
1990, he's been nominated. Born on the 4th of July. Jerry Maguire, Best Actor. Magnolia, Best Supporting, and Top Gun, Best Film. This man is in his 60s. He's putting his life on his line. He's going up on helicopters, spaceships. I'm sure he'll go to the bottom of the sea at some point. Let's get
he
Tom
did,
Cruise.
By the way. You must not have seen the latest mission.
Oh.
He did
haven't
actually
seen it yet.
Get,
haven't
no,
seen
spoiler
it yet.
Alert, that's an incredible scene. He has gone to the bottom of the ocean,
my man.
Actually.
Then I missed that.
Not to check, but well done.
Thank you.
And
Jefferson,
he's only getting better.
Right there.
And TJ, it's funny you should mention that because Tom Cruise is getting an honorary Oscar at the Governor Awards in November.
Okay.
Perfect. That's our top five, Rich's top five, courtesy of TJ Jefferson, presented by the all-new all-electric Hyundai Ioniq 9, space for up to 7, range for miles. Okay, you just, that was a grab bag.
Love it.
It was
as
that.
A top five with my name on it.
Boom.
Hour two coming up on the Rich Eisen Show.
You think and we need one more?
Oh.
All right, we'll get one more.
All right, there's one more. Okay, what do you got?
I didn't even realize.
Did you not have a one more? You didn't have a one more? Okay. What are you doing, Jay?
Why did you play the one more?
Play the one more.
Did I put that? Oh, I'm sorry. Well, Don Mattingly should be in the Hall of Fame.
Okay.
That's my one more. Okay, look, and I do that just for you, Rich, because I know you named your favorite child. You gave her his name. Don Mattingly, I was a big fan. I still have a book's worth full of Don Mattingly 86 85 Don Mattingly baseball cards, Chris.
Oh,
I don't think they're worth anything.
Donald Arthur Mattingly, a perfect human being.
He got out right before the run started, Rich. And I'm not telling you anything you don't know, but had he just been able to just like
hang
Wilson
on.
Phillips, if he could have just held on for one more year, got himself that ring, bro, we wouldn't even be having
this
conversation.
I love this guy.
But because he didn't get those championship rings, kind of holding them back, and
Reggie got me into the Yankees, and Don Mattingly is my. I mean, you had me at hello right here, man. You got me right here. And Taylor's middle name is Mattingly.
Yeah, so I'm
just to just give everyone.
That's why I said your favorite child. You
stop
gave
it.
His name.
Just again.
I heard you.
You know, we have two boys who I love.
Who you didn't name
equally
Mattingly.
As well. No.
What are their middle names?
Xander's is Kip, based off of Susie's grandfather's nickname.
Okay.
And Cooper's Evan. We just like the name of it.
Okay, great.
But you named
not Mattingly. No,
so again, we had the two boys. Susie's like, we're missing a girl. Mm-hmm. I'm like. okay, you know, like we're both from two kid families, right? Okay. She said, you need to be a girl dad. I said this today to Susie. I swear to you, I said this today to Susie. I'm like, thank God. Like, the one of the greatest things you ever said to me was like, you need to be a girl dad.
Question. And had she been a boy, would you have gone for one more to try to get the girl?
Whoa.
I did one more. I did not know this. But she's like, if we go for the girl, we get the girl, you can name her. Now, that wasn't the deciding factor. Obviously, there are other factors to say yes. Mm-hmm. Or at any rate, we go for the girl, we get the girl. My naming rights immediately get promoted to the middle name.
Yeah, I know. I remember that.
And so it's Mattingly. And so when I threw out the first pitch for the Dodgers, Mattingly was the manager. Susie was pregnant. With Taylor. Yep. Yep. And we went up to tell Don, you know, our daughter's name is going to be Taylor and her middle name is going to be Mattingly. And Mattingly's response was clearly like unfazed. Like, it's not the first baby that he's ever heard named after him of a Yankee fan. Yep. But the thing that kind of fazed him, he said his son's name is Taylor.
Oh, wow.
So his son's name is Taylor Mattingly, and my daughter's name is Taylor Mattingly Eisen. Perfectly named for many reasons. Her initials are too much Eisen.
Are you new to Formula One and don't know where to start? Or maybe a seasoned fan that wants fresh perspectives? Tune into the Two Guys, a Girl, and F1 podcast, where John and Dick, motorsport racers and old-school F1 fans, team up with Sabrina, a passionate newcomer to the world of motorsport, for everything from in-depth and technical race notes to interviews with drivers themselves. Two Guys, a Girl, and F1 is your gateway into the world of F1. Join the conversation today. Listen on Spotify by clicking the banner now.